morning, church. Our preacher this morning is a covenant member of our church. He's also part of our couples ministry. Roberto Atienza was born in Taal, Batangas, and immigrated with his family to Southern California, where he spent his formative years. Initially pursuing medicine, as many young immigrants are encouraged by their parents to do so, he came to faith in Christ as a college freshman, and soon after felt the call to enter into the ministry. Roberto was called to serve as the music, youth, and young adults pastor of the Filipino-American Christian Church in 2005 and graduated with a BS in Christian Ministries in 2008. He then began serving as the church's head pastor in 2011 and was ordained to the gospel ministry by Converge Worldwide in April 2013. In 2017, he graduated with a Master of Arts in Theological Studies from the University of Northwestern in St. Paul, Minnesota. And in 2019, he was called to serve as the field director of the Children's Shelter of Cebu, an orphanage for 75 to 100 orphaned, surrendered, and neglected kids in Cebu City. Roberto and Heather have four kids, Dietrich, Tashana, Juana, and Bastion. Church, let's welcome Roberto Atienza.
Thanks. Well, good morning, church. Morning, everyone. It's always a blessing and an honor to be able to speak here at Living Word IT Park. This morning, we're going to continue the series that the church has been going through on the book of 1 Thessalonians, and we're just going to look at four very short verses today, four short verses, but I have a feeling that each and every one of us, I pray that each and every one of us will really feel addressed and perhaps even feel challenged by the verses we're going to look at this morning. So why don't we all stand to give honor to the reading of God's word, and let's read together from chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, starting in verse 12. So it says this: "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." Let's pray. Our most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so just grateful and thankful, Lord God, for this opportunity, this blessing, to be able to read your word, to study your word, and to worship you together, Lord God, as brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you would add blessing to the reading of your word this morning, that you would open our hearts and minds to your truths, that your spirit would come, Lord, and convict our hearts of those things within us that are unchristlike, those things within us, Lord, that we need to really surrender to you, Lord, and that you would, through this brief time together, allow us to grow spiritually, to be made more and more into your image, Lord, for your glory and for your name's sake and for the furtherance of your gospel here in Cebu and in the Philippines. We pray all these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I want to thank Pastor TJ again for the opportunity to speak and for that wonderful introduction. I feel like I need to make it shorter, right? It's kind of strange to hear so much about yourself before you come up and speak. But it is true that my family and I served in Minnesota in the U.S. I was pastoring a church there for 14 years before God moved us here to the Philippines. And serving as a pastor, as many of the pastors here at Living Word IT Park will tell you, it can be difficult, right? It can be a lot of work, right, guys? amen. So one of the things my wife Heather and I did to make sure that we were keeping the right perspective, focusing on God, focusing on each other and the family, and not getting overwhelmed, is we would have regular dates. And one day, I can't remember exactly where, but we were in a cafe having one of our regular dates. And it was the type of cafe that had glass all along the front, very similar to most of the cafes and restaurants here in Cebu. But the restaurant had like a tinted glass so that we could see out, but people couldn't really see in. In fact, what they saw mostly was their reflection. So as people would walk by, it was really funny. We're there on our date, we're conversing, and as people were walking by, they would always kind of, you know, check themselves, and then they would keep going. And this happened for our entire time together, and I observed something very interesting, which I pointed out to Heather. I noticed that most people, and maybe it's because we were in the States, maybe it's a cultural thing there, but most people, they would walk up, they would check themselves, they would look, and then they would say, all right, good. And then they would keep going. They felt good about how they looked. But every now and then, every once in a while, someone would look at themselves, and you could tell they just looked disappointed. And then they would keep going. And I really wanted in that moment to walk outside of the cafe and just provide some encouragement, right? To tell them, hey, you look fine. You look okay. Whatever you're doing, have confidence. You can do it. I share this story because in the book of James, you may know this if you've looked at the book of James, there's a very vivid illustration comparing God's word to a mirror. And in this illustration found in the book of James, it describes a person who looks into the mirror, who sees himself or herself and observes something that needs to change, but this person doesn't do anything about it. They see themselves, they don't fix themselves or anything. They just walk away and do nothing. And the lesson from the book of James is don't do that, right? When you see your reflection, especially when you see your reflection in the mirror of God's word, don't just walk away doing nothing about it. And our passage this morning is going to challenge us as a church to really do just that. We're going to look into the mirror of Scripture and kind of evaluate ourselves, see how we're doing as a church, and see how we're doing at this thing of living life together as brothers and sisters in Christ, living life together as a church family. So that's what God's word is going to help us to do this morning. And it's all over the New Testament, passage after passage, book after book. We're given instructions about how to live together as believers, right? How to care for one another, how to actually provide help for each other and to build one another up, because really it is part of God's design. If we think back to chapter 4, verse 1, which was preached a little while ago, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says this. It says, finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk, that is, live, if you remember that sermon, you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you were doing, that you do so more and more. So we're seeing kind of how God wants us to live, and it needs to be on our radar at all times as a church, as individual believers, and as a church, we need to be thinking about it. So right off the bat, I'm going to ask all of you a question that I want you to just hold in your minds as we explore this passage of Scripture. I mean, do you think about that? How often do you think about how we are doing as a church together? You know, is that something that's prioritized in your life? And how are you doing at being a member of this church or a part of this church community? Because again, this passage is here to give us kind of a vision of life together as a church. It was given to the church in Thessalonica, and now it's here for us this morning, today, in 2023. So I'm going to read it again to you here. In verse 12, it says this, and you just kind of follow along and let it sink in. It says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. So again, this is kind of laying out a vision for living together as a church family. And that is one of the main metaphors that the New Testament uses to describe the local church, a family. Now, there are other kind of euphemisms and illustrations that it uses. You've heard about the church being like a body, correct? We're all different parts, yet one body. Sometimes we see it written as a building, that we're all like different little bricks or parts of a building being built up together. But very often, one of the favorite metaphors of the New Testament is the local church as a family. And we see that here in 1 Thessalonians with Paul's very frequent use of the word brothers. In verse 12, we just read, he says, "We ask you, brothers." In verse 14, he says, "We urge you, brothers." And the word in the original Greek there is adelphos. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that properly. I don't natively speak ancient Greek. I don't know if anyone does anymore. But adelphos, it can literally mean like a brother, like a male sibling. But in the context of this verse and in the context of how Paul uses it frequently, it's more like kapatid, right? Like a sibling, brothers and sisters, men and women. And if you have a study Bible, if you're the kind to read a study Bible or brought one with you, if you look at chapter 5, verse 1, you'll see probably a little footnote after the word brothers. And if you follow the footnote to the bottom, it will say brethren or brothers and sisters. And then it'll say, see also verse 4, 12, 14, 25, 26, and 27. That's how frequently Paul uses that word just in chapter 5. Not to mention the entire letter, not to mention all the letters that he's written. So it's a regular reference that Paul uses, kind of referring to the body of Christ like family members, like brothers and sisters in Christ. And now he's giving us instructions on how to live as a family. So we've heard in this sermon series how we interact with people outside the church. Now we're going to look very specifically at how to interact with one another inside of the walls of Living Word IT Park. And there are two general areas, kind of two main sections that Paul addresses here. First, it's how do we care for one another? How do we relate to one another in terms of our leaders? So how do we relate to our leadership? And the second is how do we care for one another? How do we care for the person on our left and the person on our right and everyone here inside of this building? So, how we care for leaders. Look at verse 12. It says, "We ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work." So, who is Paul talking about there? Who is Paul referring to? We know he's talking to the whole church. He's talking to everyone there in Thessalonica, but who is he talking about? Well, if you think back to the book of Acts, you'll get a really good idea of who Paul is referring to, specifically in Acts chapter 14. We're going to look at that here in a bit. To give some context, Acts chapter 14 is part of what we refer to as Paul's first missionary journey. So Paul and his companions are there in Asia Minor, and they're visiting city by city, preaching the gospel, kind of sharing about who Jesus is, and people are responding to the gospel. Little churches are being transformed, are being formed and transformed. So they go from Antioch to Iconium and to Lystra and to Derbe. And then when they reach Derbe, they decide to retrace their steps and visit the places that they'd visited before. And when they get to the city of Derbe, that's where we are right here in Acts chapter 14, the first missionary journey of Paul. And this is what it says in verse 21. "When they had preached the gospel to that city," that is the city of Derbe, "and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed the elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord, in whom they had believed." So that was Paul's practice. That was his mode of doing ministry, right? He would go from place to place. He would plant a church. He would get the church established, rooted in the gospel. He would get it rooted in the faith. And then he would appoint leaders. He would appoint elders, shepherds, overseers. And in fact, he told Timothy and Titus to do the very same thing. If you read his letters to them, he tells them, wherever you are, you appoint leaders among the churches that you are planting. And in fact, if you read the letters that he wrote to them, there's even instructions on the qualifications that these leaders should have. So I'm sure Paul would have done the same thing in Thessalonica, and that's who Paul is talking about, the appointed leaders, the appointed shepherds, the pastors of the churches that he had planted there in Thessalonica. I feel like I should take a step back and just clarify that I am not on the pastoral staff of this church. And I mention that because what we're about to read and what I'm about to preach would probably be kind of uncomfortable for the pastors to preach about. Because it's going to talk a lot about how the congregation should relate to the leaders. But I'm not on the pastoral staff. As Pastor TJ mentioned, I'm one of the covenant members here. So my family and I have been sent here to Cebu to serve as missionaries, to spread the gospel message, to spread the love of Christ, and specifically to serve homeless Filipino children. In a nutshell, that's what we do, provide a Christ-like home for Filipino kids. So, but as members of this church then, I have placed myself under the leadership of the pastors here for accountability, for teaching. I listen to them preach and teach all the time for strength and encouragement. So in many ways, this sermon, I'm preaching to myself as much as to all of you. We're all kind of in the same boat. Really, that should be the way it is for any preacher that comes and preaches. But I want us to look at what the Bible specifically has to say about these leaders. It describes these leaders of the church, these pastors of the church in Thessalonica, in three ways. So first, look at verse 12. It says, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you." So who labor among you. Our leaders, the pastors here, are not just sitting like in an air-conditioned office all day, you know, being served all the time with their feet up on the table. At least I don't think so, right, you guys? I don't think that describes the pastors here. But no, they labor among you. They work. We've been recipients of their work, my family and I. So they are servants working on our behalf, and they pour out their lives. That's their calling. They pour out their lives to shepherd the people that the Lord has placed under them. And I do see that happening here at Living Word IT Park. And that's no joke. You, church, have a pastoral staff that works, and that is a tremendous blessing. And then look at the second way they're described in verse 12. They are over you in the Lord. This is where it gets uncomfortable, I think, if I were the pastor and I was preaching. Maybe that's why I was assigned to this Bible verse. I don't know. But it can be uncomfortable, right? I mean, in our modern culture, in our day and age, you don't like to hear that. Over you? What do you mean, over you? I thought we're all equals here in the church. We're all equally sinners, right? We're all equally in need of forgiveness. We all equally need Christ and work on our walk with God every day. And that's absolutely true. But God's word is not afraid to tell it how it is and to speak the truth. And God has designed it so that people would be over us. And that is a blessing. God's word says that these folks are over you to serve us for our good, and that we are to submit to their leadership, to submit to their correction, to submit to their exposition and preaching of God's word, of their teaching and instruction, not in a tyrannical way. Leaders are not meant to be like tyrannical folks, but it is real leadership nonetheless. It is real direction, real guidance, and real authority. Can it be abused? Of course. And sadly, it has been abused in the history of the church. And we do need to guard our hearts from kind of obsessing over those stories of failures in ministry. Sometimes we can really be into digging deep into those. But whenever something like that happens, whenever a leader abuses his leadership, they will be held accountable before God. Hopefully held accountable before the other leaders in the church. But God does intend for there to be real authority, real leadership. It's part of his design to guard our spiritual health as Christians, to kind of set the tone in the church, to work through issues, to solve problems, and to really, really lead. And then look at the third thing that it says about these leaders. It says they're there to admonish you. Verse 12. It says, who are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Again, another uncomfortable thing for a pastor to be preaching out to the church. Because again, folks will have that attitude of, who are you to tell me how I'm supposed to be living my life? Because again, we're all on the same level playing field when it comes to being sinners in need of Christ's grace. But God says to the church, I want you to select mature folks. You know, not recent converts necessarily, but mature folks with godly character, with good reputations, who are able to teach God's word, to preach God's word, and to place them in charge of the people, to appoint them as elders, shepherds, and pastors, and to let them teach, to guard and correct with the word of God. Because at some point, the pastors in this church are going to have to approach one of us, probably, and say, hey, you know, if you keep doing that, you're going to be in trouble. You need to stop doing this thing that you're doing. You need to change your direction. At some point, the pastors in this church will likely have to approach us and say, I don't think it's a good idea, the things you're saying or the things you're doing. They'll have to admonish us. And in the original language, the word there, nuthateo in Greek, it's translated as admonish, as instruct, and it really is just to correct, to reprimand firmly, but with love. So to reprimand firmly, but with love. And that's who God is talking about. The folks placed over us in this way, to admonish us, to correct us. And notice what Paul says in verse 13. We ask you, brothers, to respect them, to esteem them. That is, to recognize their leadership and to let it benefit us, to acknowledge and receive the leadership role that they have in our lives. So it's not just being nice to them, or you know, maybe you see them at the mall and you say, "Hey, pastor, good to see you. See you Sunday." It's not just that. It's to esteem them very highly in love, to hold them dear in our hearts and in our minds, really caring for them and praying for them and submitting to their leadership. And so I feel like I should step back again and maybe just on behalf of all the congregants, hopefully I can speak on behalf of everyone here. I just want to say to Pastor TJ and the pastoral staff here at Living Word IT Park, thank you. Thank you all so much for all that you do. This is a church, as my family and I have observed, this is a church that really is cared for and loved by its pastoral staff. And I pray that they in turn will feel loved and cared for and esteemed and respected by all of us for the roles that they play. It can be difficult, I'm sure. Guys, wherever you are, I see Dr. Guest here, but it can be difficult, so thank you for your patience, for bearing with us. We'll do our best to continue doing what the scriptures tell us to do right here. So let's make sure this morning, church, to again look in the mirror, to look in the mirror of scripture and just ask ourselves the question, what is our heart's response to this passage right now before we go any further? What's our heart's response to God's word telling us that we should respect those in leadership? Are we resistant to leadership in the church? Are we kind of contrary? Do we receive admonition and correction as a gift from God, even if it's delivered by feeble human hands? And is there genuine affection and love towards those whom the Lord has placed to lead us? So verse 13, continuing on, it says, be at peace among yourselves. So that kind of plays into the question I just asked you. Are we at peace in our hearts about this thing that God has designed for us, for the church? Are we at peace with submitting ourselves to the leadership and authority of the pastors that God has placed over us? So, that first vein, how we interact with and care for our leaders. Now, Paul talks about how we care for and interact with one another. And what he says, it is pretty radical. It's pretty powerful, really, when we look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. And I want you to notice he's saying you, brothers. He doesn't say, I want you, leaders, pastors, right? He says, you, church, admonish the idle. You encourage the faint-hearted. You be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good with one another. So in verse 14, Paul kind of identifies some particular spiritual conditions that really require special, particular care. So here Paul is writing kind of like a wise pastor, understanding that the people in the church are maybe at different places in their spiritual walk. And he says, admonish the idle. He says that some folks in the church are being idle. And we've seen that in past sermons from this series. During our Tuesday night couples MD group, there was some question about what this word meant. So I went home and kind of started digging more deeply. And in some instances, the Greek word here translated as idle is used as like a military term where people are, you know, how the soldiers have to march. So to describe the person who is not marching in step with everyone else, they would use this word. Someone who lacks focus, someone who is intentionally being lazy, right? Not moving forward with the rest of the group. And Paul says of that type of person, of the person who is intentionally not focusing on their walk with God, for the person who is kind of being lazy with their walk with God, he says you should admonish them lovingly but firmly, correcting them. And then notice he says some others are faint-hearted. Some folks in the church are weary, they're tired, they're down or they're discouraged. You know, maybe they just feel like giving up. I mean, do you know anyone like that here in the church? Does that describe you, maybe? Someone who is weary, tired, downhearted? Paul says for those folks, they need to be strengthened. They need to be encouraged. That is, they need to have courage put into them so that they can keep moving forward in their walk with God. And he says some others yet are weak. There are folks among us who are weak. Maybe they're young in the faith. Maybe they are infirm of the mind or the body, or maybe there's some sort of spiritual handicap. You know, maybe something has happened to them in the past that's really making it difficult for them to move forward in their walk with God. They're weak. And Paul says they need to be held up, supported. They need to be helped. It says, help the weak. And that word there is translated in Titus as to hold or to be held. And I think that's a very interesting thing just to note and point out. Because of the line of work we're called to, my wife and I often have to have meetings with different government agencies. You know, we do run a shelter for kids, so we have to work with DSWD, with NACC. We have a lot of meetings with the government, and so as many of you can imagine, they're not always fun, right? Do you guys like dealing with the government? Anyone here? No? And recently, well, just after New Year's, we had to have a very long meeting with a certain government agency. I won't say which one, but we were both there. It was in person, and it was rough. I think I might have texted Pastor TJ or texted some others, just, you know, please pray for me. This is a really hard meeting. The meeting went on for 1 hour, and then 2 hours, and then 3 hours. And I can get very passionate about the kids the Lord has entrusted to us. We want the absolute best for them. And so when it feels like things are just not going to work out with the government, I can get kind of riled up. And so I was getting upset, noticeably upset. I don't know if my face was turning red or what was happening, but praise God that Heather was there with me, because she just reached over, like under the table, she just reached over and held my hand. That's all she did. She just held my hand, and that's all she needed to do. And that was all the help that I needed in that moment. And so that's kind of like what Paul is talking about here, with this word specifically, to help or be held. Sometimes those who are weak, they just need to be helped and held and moved along. And I want you to notice that all the people described here are slow in one way or another. And the fact of the matter is, at one point in time, this is going to describe one of us. You know, maybe you're sitting there like, oh, thank goodness, I'm not weak. I'm not any of these things, but it will happen. And that's the point here. This is going to be one of us at some point in time. And so what Paul is saying is whether you're idle, whether you're faint-hearted, whether you're weak, whatever you are, you're kind of slow. So we need to have patience with one another as a church. And Paul is saying, this is your work, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the work of the church. One of the works of the church is to be patient with one another, be attentive to where we are, be attentive to where each person is in the church, and provide that type of help that's needed. And we really need to ask God for eyes to see and for words to say. We can't rush in with premeditated words. I like how Paul has laid this out here. Because it would not be good for us, for example, to admonish the faint-hearted, right? That's not what they need. They need to be encouraged. And it wouldn't be good for us to hold the idle, right? They don't need to be held if they're being idle. They need to be pushed. They need to be admonished in that sense. So what a privilege we have, brothers and sisters in Christ, to be called to do this together. We're not going to do it perfectly. That's why Paul says, be patient. But we can do it. And the fact is, we're called to do it. We're told to do this for one another. So again, a quick question for everybody. How are we doing with this? I mean, how are you and I doing in our relationships here in the body of Christ? Are we extending wise and purposeful care to one another? And it is hard. I mean, relationships are hard, but God has called us to be in this particular type of relationship with one another for the purpose of making life, our walk with Christ, better for each other. So how are we doing? How are we doing with that? And look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, "See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good for one another." Now, it's hard to say in the reading of this whether that seeking to do good is a summary of what we just read or if it's something new. You can ask, you know, Pastor TJ and the others after the service, maybe what they think about this. So we're not sure if it's a summary of everything before, but regardless of that, what is clear from verse 15 is that our living with one another and our caring for one another is not going to be without its challenges. It's going to be hard. There will be occasions where we will sin against one another. I mean, I know I have. Hopefully it's not just me, is it, that sins against other people? We all will do this from time to time. There will be occasions where we as a church, unfortunately, will hurt one another. Maybe we'll use the wrong words. Maybe we'll unintentionally or intentionally shut one another out from time to time. But Paul is wonderfully clear when he says, "See that no one of you repays anyone evil for evil." So inevitably, there will be disappointments and hurts. That's kind of an unavoidable consequence of being a bunch of sinful human beings together in one place. So how do you respond when someone sins against you in the church? You know, what happens in your soul when a brother or sister in Christ sins against you? In Luke chapter 6, this is how Jesus puts it. And you can just kind of listen along and take this in. In Luke 6, Jesus says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, What benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend and expect nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. See, all of us Christians, we're on a path from brokenness back to health that describes all of us, and Jesus is leading us on that path. So here's the question, maybe the big question here this morning. You know, how are we, you and I, are we gospel-infused enough, are we Christ-infused enough to, instead of repaying evil for evil, we seek to do good to one another? And notice it says in there, always. Always seek to do good with one another. We've done a few kind of little word studies during this message. And this word here translated as always, do you know what else it can mean? Always. It just means always. Always do good to one another. And again, what a wonderful and blessed opportunity we have as a church to extend that type of care to those around us. It is a privilege that we get to, in a sense, imitate God or be reflections of God in that way. Being kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave us. Seeing that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always, always seeks to do good. And then at the very end, notice it says to do that to everyone. It says, and to everyone. So as we do this thing together, God means for the culture of this church, for the people of this church and the love of this church to just spill out of this place. You know, as we build that up more and more here, then it'll just spill out onto the streets of IT Park and Cebu City, Cebu Province, Region 7, Philippines, Southeast Asia, right? It'll just kind of keep going and going from there. And that's important because the world is a mess, right? Or is it, again, is that just me observing the world in that way? But the world is so affected by sin. And when I say the world, I don't just mean in general, but I mean individuals, people who have made individual choices that maybe they wish they hadn't made and are suffering the consequences of it. Because we do live in a world where so many are desperately trying to find some peace, desperately trying to find some joy, right? Wanting to be popular, wanting to be fit, wanting to fit in, wanting to feel loved to the point where it's affected how they view themselves, how they view all sorts of things, and they're devastated by the choices that they make. So the question is, what will happen when they turn to the church, when they come here to Living Word IT Park? Will they find a people who know how to do them good? I pray that they will find that. It's been our experience that they have found that. So keep it up, I guess, is the message. Keep it up, but keep this in your hearts and minds as well, because it's something that needs to be thought of regularly, frequently. So brothers and sisters in Christ, and when I say that, I'm referring to those of you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. My brothers and sisters, if that's not you, then I guess you can just ignore this next part. No, I'm just kidding. You shouldn't ignore this next part. But if that's not you, I pray that you would come to Christ, that you would turn to him, that you would confess your sinfulness and receive the forgiveness that he so freely offers, receive the life that he offers. Turn to him and follow him with all your heart. But to those of you who have already done that, to my brothers and sisters in Christ, God has given us an amazing opportunity and privilege to do life together, to be alongside of one another. And he shows us right here what it's supposed to look like. So take note and think about this truly and write this down. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with that this morning? Where might you and I need to grow in this aspect of our lives? And when we think about that, take steps and ask the Lord to truly help you and see how He'll grow you in your life and how He'll grow one another in our lives for His glory and His namesake. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again, Lord. We thank you so much for being so direct in your word. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us clearly and directly the truths that you need us to hear. And I pray, Lord God, that your word has fallen on open hearts and open minds. Lord, we accept what we read this morning as your word and want to live by it. And so we ask for your help, Lord. We ask for your empowerment to live in this way, to take what we've heard, combine it with faith, and allow that, Lord God, to turn into obedience. I pray, Lord, that you would give us eyes to see and show us what parts of our lives this word really needs to be applied. And I pray, Lord God, that then you would do your work in us and allow us to be more Christ-like in every aspect of our lives and how we interact with one another, especially those who perhaps are difficult to love, perhaps those who are difficult to live with, Lord. Help us to live in a Christ-like manner with all. And Lord, when we receive admonition, when we receive a word of correction, whether it's from the pastors or whether it's from a brother and sister in Christ, I pray, Lord, that you would give us patience, Lord God, that you would give us open hearts and minds to receive words of admonition from our brothers and sisters in Christ. We recognize, Lord, that we aren't perfect. We know, Lord, that we will make mistakes. So help us to be patient with one another and with ourselves. Help us to have patience, Lord, with the brethren. And help us, Lord, to live in this way so that we can be a powerful witness, Lord. So that when people walk into the doors here on Sunday or midweek during an MD group, Lord God, they would see and recognize that there is something different at work here. And that something different, Lord God, is you. Yes. That in all of our words, all of our interactions, all of our discussions and conversations, I pray, Lord, that you would be clearly seen and manifested. Lord, continue to grow us, Lord God, for your glory, and so that as we go from this place, we would be able, Lord God, to spread your love and spread your gospel and how we live our lives and how we treat others, Lord, and most especially how we treat one another. Thank you again, Lord, for this word. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Pray all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.